Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. It is March 28th, 2024, and we have another great show for you after my little trial hiatus. All right. The Chad Daybell trial begins, what you need to know. Sam Bankman-Fried gets sentenced, and he gets admonished for committing perjury and witness tampering. Richard Allen's attorneys are sticking it to the man, or at least Judge Francis C. Gull. Remember Chad Dorman, the man who eliminated his family? Well, guess what? A judge just threw out his confession. And a story of a dumb driver who's not our dumb criminal, because, no, we have another driver for that in our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it.
Hi, lawyer. Lawyer. Lawyer.
Good day, everyone. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Thanks for joining us. You know the drill. Subscribe if you haven't. Like if you do. Leave me a comment below, and remember to hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Now, before we get to today's show, you know you had a long 3.5 week trial, and guess what? You get into the office because you were in court yet again on another case yesterday afternoon, and you come back and there's an article or a phone message from one of the news channels, and you're like, oh geez, at least I didn't respond, right? And then you look at it and the article's saying that yes, the trial where Scott Reich was the attorney, well, the DA is predicting one of the highest sentences that's ever been imposed in Colorado for human trafficking. Yes, she's predicting up to some 400 years. Ugh. Or I guess we could look at it on a positive note. We're number one. We're number one. Now, honestly, people, seriously, we give everything we can to our client. We don't get the easy cases. We really don't. That's why people come to us. Sometimes we're the second or third attorney, and offers have been withdrawn. Families are saying we're going to trial. We get the difficult cases, and sometimes you get the real difficult cases, and well, sometimes there's big numbers for it as well. All right, but while we were gone, we were been streaming a lot of trials, so I hope you've enjoyed that. And I want to talk about quickly the one trial that we're streaming right now. We've got more coming. Obviously, Chad Daybell is coming up. But the one that we're doing is the Arizona rancher, this guy by the name of George Kelly. This guy is 75 years old, and he's charged with second-degree murder in the killing of a man he encountered on his property outside of Nogales, Arizona. Now, the jury trial is in Santa Cruz County, and the trial is expected to go for about a month. I feel their pain. Anyway, Mr. Kelly, 75, had rejected the plea deal that would have reduced the charge to one count of negligent homicide if he, in fact, had pled guilty. And he said, no, not going to do that. Now, this case has got a lot of support. Obviously, a lot of stuff going down on down there at the border. Sides have been picked, so to speak. He, too, had a GoFundMe page, just like Richard Allen, but GoFundMe shut it down, given the nature of the charges. So Mr. Kelly is accused of shooting a 48-year-old man by the name of Gabriel, who resided in Nogales, Mexico. Now, Mr. Kelly, apparently shot at this group of unarmed migrants who were walking through his nearly 170-acre cattle ranch near Keno Springs, and the dead man was among a group of the people walking there. Now, the attorney for Mr. Kelly has said that her client's arrest and subsequent charges against him are biased and incomplete, and needless to say, he is innocent, that he should not, in fact, be charged. Now, the attorneys for Kelly have maintained that Mr. Kelly shot into the air above the migrants because he feared for his safety and that of the safety for his wife and his property. So that is the self-defense aspect of it. So you would anticipate that Mr. Kelly is going to have to testify. It's interesting. I've been watching it while I can, because we're talking about, you know, Mr. Kelly allegedly shooting his AK-47 toward the migrants, and Obviously, he hit one of the gentlemen, and that victim is now deceased. Now, Kelly is also charged with an aggravated assault that day against another person in the group of about eight people, who is a Honduran man who was living in Mexico and is going to schedule to testify. I actually believe he's already testified. Now, the prosecutors say that this Mr. Ramirez, the other guy, was harassed, was going to go to the U.S. that day seeking work and watched as the victim was shot, and then he died in front of him. So we'll have to wait and see how this trial turns out. Obviously, you always have a right to defend yourself, but the district attorney has said, hey, this is not enough. Now, remember, to be in fear of death or serious bodily injury, you have to have a good faith basis for believing that. Now, I don't know what these migrants, illegals, whatever you want to refer to them as, had any weapons. Doesn't appear as they did. And if you're shooting warning shots, well, what comes up must come down. Is that reckless? A jury will decide. And normally you can't always use deadly force to defend your property, particularly if they're just walking across it. So don't get me wrong. I am a big property rights guy. Keep your hands off my property and don't go on my property. I get it. But you also can't go around killing people when they step on your lawn. I get that as well. So the jury is going to have to decide, Mr. Kelly, did he make the right choice or did he make some wrong choices? We'll have to wait and see, but it's an interesting, interesting trial. And I would note on our Rumble page the other day, I think we had close to 50,000 views. People are watching this big time. All right, let's go ahead and get to the docket. The Chad DeBell trial begins on April 1st, and here's what you need to know. That's right. It has been 4 years for the coming of the trial for Chad DeBell. And like I said, April 1st, Ada County, it's going to take place. Now, what I'd like to do is, some of you have watched for a while, we've done a little, what we call our Loved chart, okay? It's everything you need to know. It's a good summary of every case that you could possibly do. Loved means location. Where did it take place? O is the offense. I, identification. Who's going to come in and say that's the person that did it? And then you have date and time. So let me give you a quick Loved for the Chad DeBell case. All right, so Chad DeBell is on trial for first-degree murder, conspiracy to commit first-degree murder, and insurance fraud. So let's give you the L, the location. Tammy DeBell died in her home in Salem, Idaho, and the remains of Tylee and JJ were found buried on Chad DeBell's property in June of 2020. Now you may say, well, geez, isn't there information that maybe Tylee or JJ weren't killed at that property? Yes, but remember, one can be prosecuted for a murder where A, the murder took place, or B, where the remains were located. Oh, the offense. Chad DeBell was indicted by the grand jury in May of 2021, and he's got charges of first-degree murder for the death of Tammy DeBell, his then-wife, first-degree murder for the death of Tylee Ryan, the son of Lori Vallow, his new wife that he married just a couple of weeks after Tammy passed away. Chad DeBell has charges of first-degree murder for the death of J.J. Vallow, conspiracy to commit first-degree murder for Tammy DeBell, conspiracy to commit first-degree murder, and grand theft by deception for the death of Tylee Ryan, which is basically taking her Social Security funds, not canceling them and taking the money, and then conspiracy to commit first-degree murder and grand theft by deception for the death of J.J. Vallow, same thing, and then insurance fraud as it relates to the wife, Tammy. The victims, obviously the victims, Tylee Ryan, J.J. Vallow, and Tammy DeBell. Identification, who's going to come in and say Chad DeBell is the bad man that is responsible for the death of Tammy, JJ, and Tylee? We have no real eyewitnesses. Even the prosecution believes that it was Alex Cox, Lori Vallow's brother, that did this. We have some people with some circumstantial evidence that say they saw JJ come into the apartment. Chad was there sometimes, not other times, etc. So how are they going to prove? Who is going to ID them as saying that's the bad man that killed them? Well, first, it's going to be the defendant's own words. Conspiracy is the key. Look out during the trial for statements in furtherance of a conspiracy. All those statements of dark energy, the kids need to go, they're evil, all that kind of stuff, it's coming in. They have no witness, no participant in that. So if those statements are made in furtherance of the conspiracy, they're non-hearsay as long as the prosecution has proven that a conspiracy exists. And therefore, those statements will in fact come in if they're in furtherance of the conspiracy. Furtherance, that's the key word. And then we're going to have the evidence that the police found the bodies of JJ and Ty Lee buried at Chad Daybell's property. Now, certainly when that happens, you've got some explaining to do. How did that get there? What are the odds that your now wife's missing children that everybody's been searching for just happened to be on your property? Some circumstantial evidence there. Certainly make you think that that would the case, that you were involved in some way. So the defendant's own statements, as well as the physical evidence, is going to speak against the killers in this case. Now, obviously, the date and time, Ty Lee Ryland was believed to have been killed on September 9th of 2019, and J.J. Vallow died on or about September 23rd of 2019, and Tammy Daybell died on October 19th of 2019 in her home there in Salem, Idaho. And like I said, the remains of JJ and Ty Lee, they were found on June 9th of 2020. Now you may say, wow, Scott, that LOVID system, you know, L-O-V-I-D, good summary. That's really what everything has to be proven in a criminal case, right? Location, was that then and is it now in the state of Idaho, right? District court, general jurisdiction. What are the elements of the offense? That there was a conspiracy to cause the death of another, this case, JJ, Ty Lee, and Tammy, who are the victims. You got to be able to show that they were living, now they're deceased. The identification, no one to come in and say they did it. Lori Vallow's not going to come in and say, you know, Chad Daybell did this. So they have to use this evidence of the defendant's own words or statements against them to do that, as well as the physical evidence to show that they are the ones responsible for the deaths of these three people. And then date and time. They have to show the date that that's what it took place. That's the basic information in any charging document, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what the prosecution is going to have to prove. So jot that down and you will be able to have a quick cheat sheet. And you can say, oh, they proved that, they proved that, they proved that. So here's what you also need to know. The Idaho court is allowing the trial to be live streamed, and the court is going to use their own camera and equipment. And guess what? Crime Talk will carry the feed every day the court is in session. And you can watch it on all of your favorite Crime Talk channels, which include YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Roku, and Twitch. Now, so please subscribe on any of the channels that you're watching, so that you get notifications of when the court goes live. We're going to bring you it. We have the technology, ladies and gentlemen. We can bring you now multiple trials at any given time. All right, next on the docket, Sam Bankman-Fried. Ooh, don't you just feel sorry for this guy? No, not really. Anyway, he got whacked for 25 years for the crypto theft from investors, about $8 billion. $8 billion. So he stated that a lot of people feel really let down, and they were let down. And I'm sorry about that, he stated, old Sam Bankman-Fried. And he is sorry as to anything that happened at every stage. And things he says there are things that he should have done that he didn't do. Anyway, the Judge Lewis Kaplan there in the U.S. District Court in the Southern District in New York had no sympathy for him whatsoever, other than he only gave him 25 years. So he got 300 months and has to forfeit $11 billion. The judge also blasted him for committing perjury three times during the trial last October, which obviously the jury convicted him. They didn't believe him. And the prosecution had originally wanted him to spend 40 to 50 years in prison, while obviously the defense was asking for a much more lenient sentence of about 6.5 years. Well, the judge was very quick to bash Bankman-Fried during the hearing and noted that the fraudster committed perjury multiple times during a trial that saw him convicted of all counts. He also called Sam Bankman-Fried simply a thief who is not entitled to a lighter sentence. And the judge said that claims that investors could get all their money back because the price of crypto has gone back up, the judge said, it makes no difference that cryptocurrencies had gone up in value since FTX went bankrupt back in November of 2022. This in part makes it likelier that FTX victims could be repaid in full through the bankruptcy process. He says the fact that a combination of success in some of those investments, persistence by the current leadership of the FTX bankruptcy estate in clawing back assets, and fortuitous but radical run-up in the value of some cryptocurrencies might result in benefit to some creditors, but it bears no logical reaction to the gravity of the crime that was committed. The judge then assessed his view of the case that cost investors $1.7 billion. He said a thief who takes his loot to Las Vegas and successfully bets the stolen money is not entitled to a discount on the sentence by using his winnings to pay back what he stole if he ultimately gets caught. So you know how the judge feels about old SBF. The judge noted that Mr. Bankman-Fried perjured himself three times during the trial and that the felon committed witness tampering as well. We'll see if the appellate courts uphold this. I think they will. It just didn't strike me as a case where they're saying, it was a big mistake. Wire fraud's pretty simple. When you take other people's money, you have to only use it for what you said you were going to use it for. And the judge's analogy is correct. Like I said, if I steal your car without taking your car without your permission, and I bring it back and say, hey, you know what? I gassed it up. I even washed it for you. Guess what? I still took your car without permission. It may be mitigation that I brought it back to you in better condition, but it doesn't excuse the underlying crime. And that's basically what the judge said here. Next, Richard Allen. His attorneys are sticking it to the man, at least Judge Francis C. Gull. That's right. The attorneys involved in the defense of the accused Delphi murder suspect Richard Allen have turned to crowdfunding that we talked about yesterday to pay for his expert witnesses after the defense attorneys claim the judge has refused multiple requests for funds for expert witnesses. Now, the Pay It To site, which went live on Tuesday, has now, and I checked just prior to preparing this video, is over $18,000, and they're close to their goal of $25,000. Now, this is a little weird, but maybe this is obviously a new trend. Legal people have always had legal defense funds, but to get them to pay for all your experts so specifically, I don't think I can recall ever seeing that. Now, Richard Allen, as most of you know, is facing charges in connection with the February 2017 slaying of Abigail Williams, Liberty Libby German, whose bodies were discovered in a wooded area just off the Delphi Historic Trail System. Now, Williams and German had vanished while walking the Monon High Bridge Trail near Delphi, Indiana, back in February of 2017. The trail goes along an abandoned stretch that was once the Monon Railroad and crosses an old trestle over a small river or creek. Now, the girls were found dead the next day in the area near the trestle, and their deaths were determined to, in fact, be a homicide. So the public donations are being solicited to make the case a fair fight, according to the attorneys. Why? Because they say the judge, Judge Francis C. Gull, not making that up, ladies and gentlemen, has been denying the defense team's request for funds and reimbursement, according to a defense attorney who represents the attorneys, Bradley Rossi and Andrew Baldwin, in their contempt of court case that they face in front of the same judge. So the attorneys have said that 100% of the funds will go towards paying for experts to consult and or ultimately testify in court, and it won't go to the attorneys because, right, they're getting paid by the state. And the fundraising site states that Allen maintains he did not commit the murder of Abby and Libby, but that he has been forced to invest everything he has to fight for his freedom and for both victims of this heinous crime. Now, obviously, he is presumed innocent until proven guilty through a court of law and has an absolute right to a fair trial, which is currently being violated, the attorney stated on the page. And the funds are being raised to pay expenses related to expert fees and costs. Now, both Rossi and Baldwin earlier this month filed motions alleging the Gaul was violating Mr. Allen's right to a fair trial by denying them proper funding and requesting an order designed to provide parity in the resources available for the investigation and preservation of litigation in this case. But the judge denied the funding, ensures that it's unfair, inequitable, and it won't be a fair trial, according to the motion filed by the attorneys. Now, Rossi also claims that he spent about $51,000 of his own money on this case, which is yet to be reimbursed by the court. Now, Allen's attorneys allege that the request to fund experts, including in the areas of ballistics, digital data, and criminal psychology, have all been rejected by the court. In contrast, the attorneys also emphasize that the state has nearly limitless resources at its disposal, and the county prosecutor has given himself, his chief deputy, and his secretary raises due to the workload on their case. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, the attorneys for Richard Allen are court-appointed attorneys. The public defenders had a conflict. They appointed two private attorneys. They're experienced. They know what they're doing. Obviously, there's been a lot of motions practiced in front of this judge. Judge C. Gull hates these two attorneys, and she's going to do everything she can to sabotage the case. That is my opinion. Obviously, we don't have complete access to all of the judge's rationale as to why she can do that. But in a case where someone is court appointed, if the defendant goes to the court and says, "Judge, we need funds for this case to consult an expert," the defense attorneys have to articulate what needs to be investigated, why they need the expert testimony, or at least consultation at first. It'll be determined later if testimony is warranted. But that goes to being an effective attorney. So what is this judge doing? It's a double homicide case. Give them what they want and what they can rationally explain. Because if there is, in fact, a conviction, guess what? The first claim is going to be that the court denied Mr. Allen his due process, the right to counsel, effective assistance of counsel. And by denying them their right to consult with and retain expert witnesses, they were basically ineffective. And do you think these two attorneys will say, "I was ineffective"? Yes, I think they would. So I don't know what the judge is doing. Now, yes, the state always has unlimited funds. They do. When it says the people of the state of blank versus the defendant, they mean all of the resources that come with it. Now, every jurisdiction cries poverty, but the reality of it is they always find money for criminal cases. And if that particular jurisdiction needs more resources, they call on somebody else. They call the Attorney General's office. They get those resources. All the defense is doing is asking for a fair fight. Make it a fair fight. Let the chips fall where it may. We'll wait and see. Next, remember this guy, Chad Dorman? Remember the one that he was accused of killing his three sons back in last June in 2023? Well, he's pled not guilty, and not guilty by reason of insanity. So he entered his plea on March 25th, and he was previously indicted of 21 counts, including 9 counts of aggravated murder for the shooting that took place last summer. Now, in response to Mr. Dorman pleading not guilty and not guilty by reason of insanity, the district attorney filed a request on this with the court on this behalf of the state of Ohio. And the state is requesting a second evaluation to determine Mr. Dorman's mental condition, specifically on June 15th of 2023. That's the day when Dorman is alleged to have killed his son Clayton, who was 7, his son Hunter, who was 4, and his son Chase, who was 3. And they were all killed at their home by Mr. Dorman, according to the prosecutor. Oh, and it was pretty much on video when the cops arrived and he was sitting on the front doorstep. We've played that video numerous times. Now, throughout the interview, there were apparently were quite a few indications that he, Mr. Dorman, was talking about somebody he knows being in the CIA. And they're also an attorney and a lot of things that would make people question kind of his mental state right after the shooting took place. So it's really not surprising that this was coming, but obviously the defense has found an expert to say he's not competent. He was insane on that particular day and therefore not guilty by reason of insanity. Doesn't mean he's going home. He's going to the mental hospital. It could explain why he did what he did. I hate to say it. It's a horrific thing. But you would have to say, my God, you would have to be crazy to kill those 3 kids. Well, Mr. Dorman also got another win last week when the judge overseeing his case, Judge Richard Fernick, ruled that the Claremont County Sheriff's Office had violated Mr. Dorman's rights not once, but twice. When first, they failed to advise him of his Miranda rights before they began interrogating him. And when the detectives continued to question him after he said he wanted an attorney. So the court ruled that the prosecution cannot use those statements or audio or video recordings from Mr. Dorman's interrogation. The judge's decision specifically states the defendant's Miranda rights were violated after the defendant unequivocally and unambiguously invoked his right to counsel when he told Detective Ross, "I'll wait for a lawyer. I don't know. Give me a couple of days and I can talk to a lawyer and get nice, good answers." Therefore, irrespective of the detective's failure to fully and properly advise Mr. Dorman of his Miranda rights, as immediately set forth above, all statements obtained during the custodial interrogation shall be suppressed and shall not be adduced by any of the statements in the prosecution's case and chief. So, they can't use any of that in their case in chief. Well, what does that mean? So, obviously, when Mr. Dorman is arrested, he is not free to go. He is in custody, custodial interrogation. If you are in custody and the police want to question you about a crime that they believe you have committed, they must give you your Miranda advisement that says you have a right to an attorney. You have a right to stop this conversation at any time that you would like. And basically, if you do talk with us, it has to be knowing, freely, and voluntarily, and anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You've all heard the standard Miranda advisement. Every police officer should know better. When in doubt, give the Miranda advisement. Even if they're not in custody, give the Miranda advisement. But then, once Mr. Dorman said, "I want a lawyer," which is an unequivocal request for an attorney, all interrogation has to stop. But like most detectives, they think, well, you know, if you want an attorney, then I can't get your side of the story. And, you know, and then I got to go to the district attorney and just, you know, tell the one side. And, you know, how wouldn't you like them to have your side of the story? They do it all the time, ladies and gentlemen, and it gets suppressed, right? Lawyer, 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 say it once, unequivocally say it once, all interrogation has to stop. When in doubt, use the crime talk rule of 3, lawyer, lawyer, lawyer. There you go. Don't panic yet, ladies and gentlemen. Just because the prosecution can't use it in their case in chief, they have eyewitnesses at the scene. Remember his wife, his daughter that he also tried to shoot, to say that's the person that did it. If the defense were to put Mr. Dorman up on the stand, or perhaps even through his experts that they may call as to his mental health, they may be able to use that for impeachment purposes. So don't panic. Mr. Dorman's not going anywhere. I think he's going to prison for a long, long time. Next, a dumb driver doing an air guitar. Yeah, and he killed somebody. Please meet this knucklehead, Brent James Kiernan. Well, he was arrested on Thursday and charged with one count of criminal vehicular homicide after he was operating a motor vehicle in a grossly negligent manner that resulted in the death of an innocent 61-year-old man by the name of Justin McNeil. Now, police with the Moose Lake Police Department and the deputies at the Carlton County Sheriff's Office and troopers from the Minnesota State Patrol responded to a call for a driver striking and killing an adult on a Minnesota highway, which is about 100 miles north of Minneapolis, where this took place. Police arrive on scene. First responders learn that McNeil had left a nearby Dollar General store and was walking on the shoulder of the highway with his items that he had purchased. Then the police learned that Mr. Kiernan was driving northbound on the road, veered onto the shoulder, rammed into Mr. McNeil, where Mr. McNeil was pronounced dead at the scene. Well, the police, doing a thorough investigation, were able to determine that there were tracks on the highway, and it showed that Kiernan's vehicle went off the road and onto the shoulder, where he in fact struck McNeil. Well, Mr. Kiernan explained to the police that he was listening to some radio when a really good song began playing, and it prompted him to do his air guitar. And then guess what? When suddenly his vehicle's airbags deployed, according to the defendant, Mr. Kiernan. Now, the defendant also made a statement that he was, well, maybe looking down and jamming out a bit. And the next thing you know, he just hit somebody. These things happen. I mean, when you're playing air guitar, I forgot. I mean, what's the problem here, officer? Is there a problem? Well, guess what? The police continue to do a thorough examination. They say, hey, let's do a PBT, a portable breath test, for Mr. Kiernan, and guess what? It came back as a 0.06, a little below the 0.08, but guess what? They took blood, and we'll see if it comes back a little higher. We'll have to wait and see. Anyway, Mr. Kiernan now faces up to 10 years in prison. I wonder if that good song was worth the jam. Man, I don't think so. And then finally, our dumb criminal of the day. A man in Georgia was arrested for stealing a 75,000-pound front loader and taking it on a wild police chase before being stopped by, wait for it, another front loader. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. A bad man with a front loader is only stopped by another good man with a front loader. Remember that. Anyway, the man allegedly stole the front loader from a waste management facility and was stopped by an employee who was able to track him down with another front loader, and they used that to flip the runaway front loader's vehicle. Anyway, Mr. Eddie Sanchez has been identified as the man, and he has been arrested and charged with the criminal trespass and reckless driving. Fortunately, nobody was injured. Apparently, no good jams on the radio, but hey, check out this video. All right, that's all we have for you today, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for watching. I hope you're happy to have me back. I'm happy to be back. I missed you. Anyway, thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. And remember, yes, the Constitution matters.